Hey there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our series through the book of Galatians. Today we'll be looking at chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. In our last session, we saw that Paul was calling out the way that we treat one another and how important that is. In today's passage, we'll see that there's even more of that line of thought, but directed towards teachers and their followers, and seeing just how important it is the way that we treat one another and how that reflects on our understanding of who God is and what he's done for us. So let's read. Let the one who has taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. So in verse 6, he says, let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. The language that's used here is primarily pointing towards the idea of financial provision, although there's also the idea of partnership, of partaking together, of providing in a very practical, real life way, not just, oh, I learned this new thing and now I will share what's happened with it. It's not an intellectual sharing, but it's a physical sharing. This verse, along with passages like 1 Corinthians 9 or 1 Timothy 5, that talk about how our pastors, teachers deserve financial compensation so that they can be able to study and without distraction the Word of God and be able to prepare sermons, be able to find those lessons, those applications without the distraction of extra things that are needed in order to be done to physically provide for themselves and their family. And so he is pointing out, again, this idea of financial support from the church to their teachers, their leaders, their pastor elders. And clearly this should have was a problem in Galatia, otherwise he wouldn't be pointing it out. And it also, again, sets a precedent for us today, for our churches, and to why we pay pastors in order to not just stand up in front and be recognized, but so that there's the lack of distractions, so that teacher can still continue to teach well. And then he further solidifies the importance of this by saying, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, right? This idea of deceived is being misled, being brought off of the correct path. And God is not mocked in the same way that a parent might say to a child, you don't get to talk to me that way. That's the strongness of the language here, that God will not just say, oh, it's fine, or oh, don't do that. And this is a serious issue. And we can see just what happens when we are misled and we get off of the path in the next verses. He says, for whatever a person sows, he will also reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. If we think back to the list of the works of the flesh and the things that come out of that, we see each of those things can lead to destruction of relationships, of people's lives, of their well-being, of their physical and spiritual postures, right? So sowing in those works of the flesh basically leads to destruction, to death. And then he contrasts it, though, and says, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Again, the contrast set up at the end of 5, where the fruit of the Spirit is again, echoing in this idea of sowing and reaping. And keeping in mind, too, that when the farmer sows and the crop grows, he is getting back what he sowed, but not a one for one. So what I mean by that is if a farmer plants a pumpkin seed, it doesn't produce more pumpkin seeds only, right? It produces a fruit, it produces a pumpkin, and inside of that pumpkin is more seeds that then can be sown and planted and watered and grow into more pumpkins with more seeds, right? So this idea of sowing and reaping, it's not just a one-for-one interaction, but we see that harvest can be plentiful. From one seed then comes generations and generations of more of that type of fruit. And he points this out because he doesn't want the Galatian believers to get discouraged by maybe a lack of understanding or learning or feeling like they can't grasp well enough what's happening and they're not getting it quickly enough. Because he reminds them that a harvest is a long time. And he says in verse 9, "Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up." So when we look at that fruit of the Spirit, and we wait for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those things don't immediately come into the life of the Christian as soon as they are saved, right? That fruit takes time to grow and develop. And as those seeds are planted and as they produce more fruit and we grow in our relationship with Christ, we see more of those things happening over time. But again, it's a long-term runway for personal sanctification. It's not a magic button that you push and all of a sudden all of the problems in your life are solved. You have found a perfect way of living and we are just free to not have to worry about what we're doing anymore. No, this is a long-term cultivation, right? The farmer doesn't just plant the seed and hope for the best, but they know which type of soil is best. They know how much water it takes. They know that they need sunlight. They know that they have to keep bugs and animals away from eating the fruit before it's ripe. And there's lots of protective and long-term things that have to happen in order to reap that harvest. And so, although the farmer himself is not literally growing the plant, he's setting up an environment that helps to grow that plant. And for us today, that's something that we can consider as we look at our own personal journeys of becoming more like Christ. Is how are we setting up our environment in a way that helps us to grow this fruit of the Spirit, knowing that it is a long-term situation. And also in that verse 9, let us not grow weary, the word picture there is this idea of a woman in childbirth and the baby has not yet been delivered, but she is weary, she's tired, and it's painful. And so that being in the process of cultivating this good work that God has prepared for us, again, not the good work of I followed the law and it's saved me, but the good work of God has saved me, and so I get to become more like him as I live my life here on this earth. That's what we need to not grow weary of pursuing as we continue on. And then at the end of this passage, he says, "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith." Again, pointing back to the important relationship the church has among itself, that we don't just go along life on our own, as we saw in last week's passage, that we bear one another's burdens, even though we have our own personal journey that we are ultimately responsible for. We also exist to live in community and to to encourage one another and bear one another's burdens. And it's important that Paul points out, he says, it's not that we only insulate and just care about the church, right? It says that we work for the good of all, but he points out it's especially important for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that Satan is trying to trip us up, knowing that life is difficult, and there's all kinds of issues that come up that are not meant to be worked through alone, but God has provided this wonderful family for us to be able to rely on and depend on and encourage and build up. And Paul, I think, too, is reminding himself that that's why he's dealing with the Galatian people, right? That he is going to take the opportunities to do good for them and among them, not just in sharing the gospel, that certainly is in there too, but even in being able to, when he sees them, bring them physical comfort, bring them a listening ear, bring them good teaching. So it's not just it's not a selfish approach to life, but it's a communal approach of seeing our Christian family as part of our mission field. We certainly share the gospel with those who are outside, and we desire that God will bring them into a saving knowledge. And that's one side of our calling. But then on the other side of our calling is our calling to one another in the church, and especially in these local communities like the Galatian church, these people who are living together and doing life together. And so as we consider this passage and what it is that we can do for one another, as well as what we can do for ourselves in order to create that environment where the fruit of the Spirit is able to thrive. And again, knowing that ultimately it's God working in us and through us. And so we want to do our best to create the space, the necessary environment that then allows God to truly grow us and stretch us and bring us to a deeper understanding of him and a deeper capacity to live for him. And so that's our goal, as we just deal with the mundane things in life, that we will reap in the Spirit, sow in the Spirit, so that we can reap in the Spirit.